I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. After more than a decade in court, hundreds of thousands of Native Americans have reached a settlement with the U.S. government. They said the government mismanaged a series of land trusts dating back to the 19th century. We'll find out what the case is all about and what the settlement might mean in just a few minutes. But first, there is developing news on the health care front. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says Democratic negotiators have reached a tentative agreement on a plan to overhaul health care and insurance. It's reported that the agreement has found a way around the intense disagreement over the so-called public option. It's a fast-moving story, and we wanted to know more, so we called Mary Agnes Carey. She is senior correspondent at Kaiser Health News. That's an independent news-gathering service that gives close attention to health issues, and she's been covering all of this, and she's with us now by phone. Mary Agnes, thank you for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Is there or is there not a public option, a so-called public option, that would give access to health insurance for people who aren't getting it now in the private market?
Well, it probably will be in the eye of the beholder, and here's why. There are some details that are coming out about this agreement, even though nothing officially was released last night. It would do a variety of things. Number one, it would allow people to buy into Medicare. If you're between the age of 55 to 64, you can't afford your employer's health insurance, so you don't have coverage. Concerning the public option, the Office of Personnel Management, and again, this is an agency that oversees the health insurance for federal workers, they would be negotiating with insurers to offer national benefit plans similar to those that are offered to federal workers, and those would be offered nationwide. But if health insurers under this scenario didn't step up, if you will, to offer those plans, then some sort of government plan would be triggered and would be offered at that point. So some progressives may say this is simply not enough, and they'll keep fighting for a more robust public option that had been in the House bill or perhaps the version in the Senate bill. But some conservative Democrats may find more comfort with this idea.
So the idea is that if the private market does not step up to the plate, as it were, at that point, the government would be step in to offer. It would trigger the creation of a public plan.
Yeah, negotiate a larger, negotiate a government plan that could be offered in places. This idea has been out there. Let's remember Olympia Snow, who's a Republican from Maine, has talked a lot about a trigger. It's one of those Washington terms that a national plan would be triggered if health insurance plans weren't found to be affordable to a majority of residents in a state. So it's very unclear, but you can see how Senator Reid and other Democrats are struggling to overcome opposition from some conservative Democrats that are worried about a government plan. They feel like it's too large of an expansion for the government. It would undermine insurance companies. But on the other side, you've got progressives and, liberals in the Democratic Party that want a uniform option available to everyone. So they're trying to strike a compromise on that.
So we understand that one of the reasons we haven't heard more details to this point is that the agreement has to be costed out. Who will do that cost assessment? And when are we likely to hear the final verdict?
There's an agency called the Congressional Budget Office. The shorthand in Washington is the CBO. This package has been sent to the CBO. It's one of the reasons that they're not officially releasing details, because they like to have as much maneuvering ability as they can if something, a score, if the determination of what something costs comes back in a way that they don't like it. But a lot of this will depend on what has previously been scored by the CBO. Remember, we've been talking about health care for a long time this year, and the CBO has seen a lot of language and provisions, and so it may take a few days, it may take longer, but the CBO scoring will be critical because it will help determine how much it costs and how much can be included in the bill.
Is this a big breakthrough?
It is, because if, in fact, Senator Reid can pass a bill, a health care bill, before Christmas, since it's unclear what is going to happen, if anything, if he wants to achieve that goal, he has to get moving to get language to CBO, to get it part of a larger bill. And so the scoring of this provision will be critical. The idea that you've got, he's had a group of 10 moderate and progressive Democrats meeting for about the last week on this issue and other issues. And so it is very important, I think, that they came out and said, even on a tentative basis, they have something to send to CBO to get a score to keep it moving.
If you would talk for the last couple of minutes we have left about another big issue that's been a subject of intense disagreement, both in the Senate and then previously in the House, and that's over the question of abortion and whether women who get their insurance coverage through whatever mechanism is developed through this bill can have access to abortion services. Ben Nelson of Nebraska and Orrin Hatch of Utah had proposed language that mirrored language that had been passed by the House after some very intense lobbying by the leadership there. What's the status of that language? What happened?
Last night, the Senate rejected a movement by Senators Nelson and Hatch to take the House language and put it into the Senate bill. And that is significant because there's been a lot of concern about public money and abortion coverage and the health insurance bill. And this is, I think it's very interesting and important that the Senate said we do not want to mirror the House language, which is more restrictive, which would not allow a insurance plan in the exchange that gets public money to have abortion services covered. And so I think this is going to be a continued point of controversy as we go on. If the Senate passes a bill, it'll have to be reconciled with what the House has done. So we don't have a final answer on it yet, but the fact that the Senate rejected the House language is critically important.
And why did they?
Well, I think that they there's a different view in the Senate. There's more a view of many Democrats there feel that if a woman wanted to spend her own money on abortion services, that could be kept separate and segmented, and that should be allowed. It's just got there's a stronger feeling about protecting that in the Senate among some of the Democrats than appears to be in the House from what they've passed earlier this year.
Did you have a sense, and we only have about a minute left, of whose arguments were more persuasive on this point? Orrin Hatch insisted that the bill would do nothing, or this language would do nothing to restrict women from using their own money to pay for this kind of coverage. Other Democrats said that it absolutely would, and that even if that were the case, that that these riders that they're saying would be made available actually have not been made available in the places where this attempt has been made. So do you have a sense of, was it that this is just a matter of people's underlying ideology, or was there a sense that one argument or another was just more persuasive in the end?
I think that abortion rights proponents in the Senate made it very clear this was a hard line for them. And the argument that women should be allowed to use their own money to cover abortion prevailed over fears that allowing it in the, that over concerns rather from the other side that it should not. So I think that it just became a very clear battleground in the Senate that abortion rights proponents were not going to let this pass.
Mary Agnes Carey is a senior correspondent with Kaiser Health News. That's an independent news gathering service, and she was kind enough to join us on the phone. Mary Agnes, thank you.
My pleasure.